This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Rose Oconee Historical Society. I'll continue today reading from the Grace Landine document, telling about three Chippewa families from Warroad. Today I'll be reading from Tom Lightning's daughter Margaret Lightning Oz's childhood story. When I first went to school, I must have been between 7 or 8 years old. I just cannot recall. My oldest brother Hans was in his teens. Our parents took us to an Indian boarding school up in Shoal Lake, Ontario. I couldn't write my own name then. They didn't even try to teach us to learn to read or write. I guess we didn't know any different. They put all of us to work. We would go to a half day of school about 3 times a week. The rest of the time we would do house cleaning, sewing, cooking, and anything in the line of housework. The boys would do the outside work like cutting wood, caring for the cattle, and shoveling snow. There was a lot of work to be done outside for a big school. They had to do everything by hand. After 2 terms, my father didn't take us back to that school again. The following year, we went to school in Warroad. We had a late start, Hans and I, so I guess that's why we did not get much schooling. John had a better chance. He really loved school. I never liked school very much. The white children would tease me all the time. They would call me all kinds of names, and I wasn't one to fight back. They would call me a dirty Indian. Maybe they thought my skin was dirty when it was darker than theirs. Here in Warroad, I learned to be able to read and write a little. I didn't learn anything in Canada, not even my ABCs. We lived in town here with our grandmother, Mrs. Honest John Lightning. Louis Gooden was raised with us. He was like a brother to us. My grandmother and my parents raised him. His mother died when he was an infant. Louis's mother was Nemepuk's daughter, so there was 3 of us going to school. We took care of ourselves and came right home after school to do our work. John and Louis would cut wood for the house and haul it in for the night. I would fix something for us to eat and do the dishes. I would take care of all the washing and housekeeping. Grandmother would cut wood sometimes to help the boys so they could do their homework for school. Some Saturdays we would go out in the woods to cut our firewood. I would go and ask our neighbor, John Gould, if I could borrow his team of horses to go and get some wood. Right away, he would get the horses ready to go and hook them to a big sleigh. He was just a kind man. Anybody less wouldn't let children use his team of horses. I would drive the team and we would bring a big load home. It would last a while. If it was a big log, the 2 boys and myself would haul the log out of the snow into the sleigh. Grandmother was a strong woman. She would haul those logs on her back easily. It wasn't easy for us to get our education, what little we got. Our parents would be out to the logging camp working. If they weren't at the camp, they were doing commercial fishing or trapping fur animals for market. Mother worked like a man. After my father lost his leg, she worked with him at whatever work they could find to do. They made a good living for us children. We never went hungry. We struggled all our lives as we never got any kind of aid. Margaret related a story as told by her grandmother, Mrs. Honest John Lightning. The incident occurred when Margaret's grandmother was just a little girl. The Chippewa Indians had horses of their own, but since they had no place to keep them, they let them run wild. The Sioux were after their horses, and once in a while they would see someone running after a horse, or see by the tracks that horses had been taken. One day someone had seen a stranger wearing very little clothing. Everyone in the village was warned. They all piled into canoes and went out on the lake or to Buffalo Point. Mrs. Honest John Lightning was very young, so she went with her grandmother out on the river along the bank. They hid in a small place where water had washed away part of the bank and the sod hung over them. They spent 2 nights making no noise because they were afraid of being discovered. The second night they heard someone running over them on the bank. After a while, the grandmother began singing chants to find out if it really was the enemy. She continued chanting, and when she finished, she said, "It is our enemy, but they are gone. We are safe. We can go home." Soon, all returned to the village, and they were never really attacked. Another story Margaret's grandmother told is about her father when he was just a young boy. The warriors were going to fight the Sioux, and even if he was considered too young, her father still begged to go along. One of his brothers said to let him go along. They had a leader of the war party who directed them some distance to a place where there were some Sioux Indians. They fought for just a short period to preserve their strength. The leader told them to stop and run back. They stopped to rest in a little valley and all waited for each other. There was one person who did not show up. Someone came along and said, "Your younger brother is hit." The older brother told his fellow warriors that he was going back to fight for his brother. He insisted on going alone. Dressed only in a loincloth and with the gun he got when trading furs, he ran along until he came to some Sioux Indians resting on a log. He shot at them and they returned the fire. He was not hurt and he found his younger brother. Margaret said, "My grandmother's father was wounded. His brother went to fight for him. He thought he had been killed, but he found his brother wounded, but still alive. He was hurt in the hip, and the Chippewa warriors helped him along home, where the medicine man tended him." Margaret's mother remembers seeing the scars. The wounded man's name was Megigabo, meaning walking along or moving along. Thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our county stories.